Hi, I'm Lunchy.
And I'm a distant son.
Today we're talking about the fourth pod-aware topic, mm-hmm. personal preferences. Mm-hmm. And we're...
goody.
We're narrowing this down a little bit.
Yeah, because we have talked about our own preferences in various podcasts and free talks over the past couple of months.
Yeah, so we don't really want to subject you to...
another one.
Repetition. So we are going to do an exercise. So where are reading excerpts from Tami Dan's Coffee and Chemistry, a Sid Gino hockey IPF fan fiction, which I have just acquired permission to podfic.
So podfic hopefully permission dance.
So hopefully they don't mind that we're using it as an example.
If it was me, I'd be thrilled.
On this podcast. So if you're listening, hi!
Hey!
Thanks! Sorry.
They're so cute!
Yeah, we love it. Well, we love this, so thank you so much. And what we've decided to do is read out two excerpts.
So basically, upon first read, what jumped out at us the loudest or the highest, whichever mental conceptualization you choose to use, that kind of would made us want to podfic this.
Yeah. So this is a meet cute college AU where Sydney gets to know Gino because Gino's falls asleep all the time.
Constantly falling asleep in their morning classes.
And at the end of the class, he wakes up like horrified that he keeps falling asleep
and he hasn't taken any notes,
and Sid feels so badly for him that he starts to sit next to him and bring him coffee to keep the guy awake so that the guy doesn't fail the class. And when I was halfway through reading the fic, I thought it was super adorbs. Mm-hmm. By the end of it, I was like, this can be a podfic. So we've just gone through the story
picked out the bits that jumped out to us.
Yeah. For me, the bit that jumped out was the funny exchange. And for Sunny...
for me, it was the description of a poor, sleep-deprived Gino just dying in his 8 a.m. class. That was the image that stood out for me through the whole fic, and also, my God, I can sympathize.
Yeah, so I think... that kind of says a lot about our preferences, doesn't it? I went straight for the funny, and you went
for the comedy. I went straight from the, oh God, morning sucks.
You went straight for the empathy. Surprise, surprise. What kind of readers are we?
I wonder.
Wow. I mean, I think some people have lost several bets over the outcome of that came out. So, Sunny's going to read her bit first, and mm-hmm. it happens, and we've gotten to the part where Sid's already brought coffee in for Gino.
Yes, so they've already established their little routine. After the third time Sydney brings Gino coffee, he has a revelation. You cannot possibly still be jet-lagged, Sydney says. Gino grunts, the most he gets at the start of class, and curls his arms protectively around his coffee like he's afraid Sydney's going to take it from him. As if. Sydney doesn't like the taste of coffee, doesn't like the way it lingers in his mouth, tasting worse with each passing second. He's been taking some of Jack's coffee in the mornings. It's not like Jack ever drinks the whole pot anyway. And he's glad Gino likes whatever flavour it is. Though he now suspects Gino would drink it no matter what it tasted like.
After the third time Sydney brings Gino coffee, he has a revelation. You cannot possibly still be jet-lagged, Sydney says. Gino grunts, the most he gets at the start of the class. Okay, so at this part I'm like, I have to reread that. Okay, Gino grunts the most Sid gets at the start of class, and curls his arms protectively around his coffee, like he's afraid Sydney's going to take it away from him. As if. Sydney doesn't like the taste of coffee, doesn't like the way it lingers in his mouth, tasting worse with each passing second. He's been taking some of Jack's coffee in the mornings. It's not like Jack ever drinks the whole pot anyways, and he's glad Gino likes whatever flavour it is. Though he now suspects Gino would drink it no matter what it tasted like. Okay, that totally sounded... That did have some different things. When you were reading it, I was like, oh, I think I'd probably do it the same way. And then I read it, and I'm like, I didn't do it the same way.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think...
I think the big thing that happened for me was I totally couldn't read
the top of the Gino grunts the most he gets.
Yeah, the Gino grunts the most he gets, because I've got... He interpreted as the most that Sid... That's the most that Sid gets from Gino, is that Gino grunts. And I couldn't make it work, so I just changed the pronoun he to Sid.
Yeah.
So that I could convey to the listener that it is definitely Sid that is getting the grunt from Gino. And that's the only thing that he gets.
I'm curious, when you're reading, do you kind of, in terms of your own role, do you think of yourself as like a reader or a narrator? Or do you think of yourself as the point of view character?
It depends on the kind of thing. I definitely...
Like, in the, for example, in this.
So I would definitely think of myself more as, like, how do I make it the most interesting listener experience? And only in terms of dialogue would I then go and actually be the person. In that reading, I would have gone back probably and changed and redone Sid's dialogue, because it was probably too emotive for what I actually think Sid is like as a person. But in the prose bit, I think the prose bit can be as fun as I want it to be. So like, yeah, that is, and then I would change it like that. So yeah, because I think this bit is meant to be a little bit amusing and full of jokes, that's how I read it. Yeah.
See, yeah, I mean, that only just occurred to me because I read this with Sid. Well, not as Sid per se, but as if it were Sid's thoughts, as if he were actually narrating this to himself.
Oh!
So that's kind of the perspective that I take, is that the narration...
Sidney talking to himself in third person.
Well, you know, it's the narration is as an interpretation of the point of view character's thoughts. So... The like that influences the intonation and the tonal choices that you use,
and things like that.
That's kind of how I approach it.
Yeah,
is that it's all filtered through the perceptions and experiences of the point of view character.
So
I'm reading it as I imagine they might, like in this case, Sid might be. How can I say? As if he were writing it down.
And, dear diary.
And recounting it to himself.
Yeah.
I read it as if he is, sitting there talking to a mirror and telling himself about it, you know?
Yeah. I think I would do that. I would take that into account if it was a dual POV fic. I would definitively want to separate the two points of view as different entities.
Yeah.
When it is straight prose, I probably would pull back a bit more than I just did.
Yeah.
Because I would be thinking about it, and you know, that kind of stuff just kind of happens when you're kind of reading it.
I mean, this was a relatively cold read for the both of us. So.
Yeah. Yeah. This was definitely a cold read. But I think. Yeah. I kind of read that as though I was reading Styles, to be honest. Yeah. Because he's more hyperactive, kind of amusing thinking. But it is a lighthearted story, so it wouldn't be too far off. It probably would have been more pulled back when I'm actually going to podfic it.
Yeah.
But I would probably try to keep those amusing elements in there. Hopefully.
But, I mean, Sid is also rather pissed in this scene, or at least that's how I read it. He's like, what the fuck, you're just taking advantage of me, you lazy fucking bastard.
But you had, like, a quiet kind of anger. Like, you had, like, though he now suspects Gino would drink it no matter what flavor it is. Yeah. Whereas I had, like, a loud kind of anger. I'm like... Which, you know, sometimes Sid gets.
Yeah.
When he's super angry.
Playing the flyers and asking about referee's weight.
Trying to sweeten the pot. Hey, you look like you've lost weight. Can you, like, start refereeing properly? I think you look really great now.
Yeah, you may have lost some weight. Have you stopped eating your whistles, have you? Yeah, and then he gets an elbow to the face off a face-off and no call. Poor Sid.
It was bad. It was so bad. I definitely saw with your one there was a lot more flow, I think.
Mm.
Yours had heaps more flow to it, and it kind of connected really nicely together.
Whereas yours is very clear, like, I noticed the enunciation on through each of each of the clauses, it was very, very clear, very easy to understand. Whereas I often find when I'm editing, there's bits and pieces where I'm like, oh, you idiot. I don't even know what the fuck you just said.
Oh, boy.
You know?
That just kind of stems from me wanting it to be clear and as clear as possible for the listener.
Yeah.
Like, because I've gotten a fair chunk of feedback that I have received is from non-native speakers saying, like, the podfic was... It was easy to follow along.
It's a study aid for them.
So for me now, I just kind of think it has to be clear.
Yes.
So kind of foremost in my mind, equal first with expression is it has to be clear.
Clear.
Yeah. So probably even more than if the expression is not quite right, fuck it. If it's clear, then that's it.
All that matters.
Yeah. Whereas you've got like that flow going and... Mm. I was like, oh, yeah, so now she's going to read the rest of it. I'm waiting for the rest of it.
You were the one who got permission, my dear, not me.
All right.
I'm much looking forward to the finished product, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll wait more. okay, we'll do...
Ovi,
yeah. So, this part of the story... we've gotten to is Sid and Gina have started to take naps together.
Aww.
Platonic naps.
Platonic, absolutely, clearly platonic.
It's not Gina's awkward flirting or anything.
No, of course not.
Of course, Alexander Ovechkin is Gina's roommate.
Of course.
And is super onto the fact that Gina totally wants to make out with Sidney Crosby and does not understand why Gina cannot seal the deal.
Which is pretty much Ovi's... duty in any fic that he appears in is just to be the
head troll,
basically overly amused matchmaker.
All right,
I think that might be part of why we love him so much.
Oh my god, we love them. Like we couldn't read a whole fic
of Ovi trolling. No,
but him trolling periodically is
glorious.
Yeah, just a halo kind of around him. Coming forth with his one-liners, bestowing upon us some chirps. All right. Of course, because it's me, I chose the dialogue. Of course. And I'll be trying to read this with the accent. Okay. Need time alone? Should have put sock on door. I am a very considerate roommate. Yes, Junior? Gino's response is to slide down under the covers so no one can see him. We don't need alone time, Sidney says, aware that he's blushing, and that just makes him even more flustered. We need time alone from you. Ah! Alex says, threesome? Not with Kane. You can do much better. What? Sidney pokes the lump of his nap buddy. No, Gino says. Not involved. Sleeping. You're always sleeping. Trouble in paradise, Alex says. It's okay, I know how to fix. No, Sidney says. And deciding Gino has it right, hides under the blankets. The end.
Dear God, you would. You bloody would.
Guys, please stop operating under this preschool notion that just because you can't see them, they can't see you. Not involved. Sleeping.
Toss me a cushion, would you?
Oh! Thank cushion.
Need a long time? Should have put sock on door. I am a very considerate roommate, yes, Gina?
Gina's response is to slide down under the covers so no one can see him.
We don't need alone time, Sydney says, aware that he's blushing and that just makes him even more flustered. We need time alone from you. Ah, Alex says. Threesome? Not with Kane. You can do much better. What?
Sydney pokes the lump of his nap buddy.
No, not involved. Sleeping.
You're always sleeping!
Trouble in paradise, Alex says. He's okay. I know how to fix. No,
Sydney says, and deciding Gino has it right, hides under the blankets.
Alrighty!
That'll.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so immediate difference is obviously that our accents are a little bit different from each other. And that you do a better OB.
Bullshit.
No surprise there. Also, that you had the presence of mind to cover your mouth while you were doing the Gino under the covers bit in order to properly convey the fact that he was such a loser.
Well, no, that's just something that... That is actually something, again, carried over from Remus and Sirius Fic, where there was a lot of, you know, hiding in the dorms. Ooh. Or hiding in the curtains or hiding in the blankets. So it just became a thing where whenever somebody's
speaking... That was like
speaking,
a reflex for you, man.
Yeah, pretty much. Wherever somebody's speaking through a curtain or a blanket, it's just like, oh, get me a cushion.
And that's why you told me to toss you a cushion.
Please.
That's right. But yeah, no, our delivery of the dialogue was slightly different from each other as well.
Yeah.
Which is... as expected, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you did Ovi as kind of overt, trolling, amused. Oh, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, that's just because that's how I think of Ovi.
Whereas I kind of think of Ovi trolling as with this, you know, very faintly shining halo over his head that's just slightly dislodged by the horns. So he's kind of got the, oh, I know how to fix. You know, I can be very helpful. I will give you the worst advice ever. I pretend that it's serious.
Guys, jokes aside, let me fix this.
Whereas, yeah, your OV is just delighting in their idiocy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
It's just like, oh, you have problems? Trouble in paradise? Really? Already? Oh, my goodness me.
Yeah, your OV is...
My OV's a dick.
Oh, my God. My OV is also a dick, but...
In a different way.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought that there were so many ways to be dicks? That didn't come out right.
No. No, it didn't really.
No, it did not.
But yeah.
Well, I'm glad to know that there are different ways that people can be dicks.
Well, it's funny though, in this particular iteration, it felt like your Sid was a bit more kind of... silently fuming.
Yeah.
Whereas mine's dying of embarrassment.
Yeah.
This one's a lot more about interpretation of dialogue.
Yeah.
More so than the other one, which was more straight narration.
Yeah, that's right.
Where we were probably a bit more similar.
Yeah. But that's the fun part, at least for me, is being able to act out dialogue.
Yeah, and I mean, that's where you get, I think that's where the value of different interpretations comes in.
Definitely,
because, you know, everybody's going to interpret different characters in different ways, and, you know, your Sid was passively fuming, mine was dying of embarrassment and wanted to crawl through the floor.
Yeah.
You know, so it's... Each different reader is bringing a different interpretation of the character and the lines to the reading.
Yeah, that's right.
And I personally think that's where probably the biggest value of repods or, you know, any kind of different reader interpretation is.
Yeah, no, I thought that was just really cool. Just like when you read it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was a really good way to do it. That was a good way. No. That was a really, yeah, no. I was like, oh, man. I'm going to take some notes.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to steal some of that shit. Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely agree that the dialogues are the things that kind of come out most strongly as differently interpreted.
Differentiating factors.
Yeah. Because in dialogue there is no thing that says he said this because he thought this.
Mm.
So it's definitely up to the reader to look at that conversation and see to put on character intentionality on top of that and to come out with whatever dialogue they think is most suitable to the scene, what's most going to be able to carry out what they think is going on.
Mm.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. That is cool.
Awesome. Awesome sauce.
Yeah, that is a cool thing. That was a very fun exercise.
Yay!
Round of applause to each of us. Are there other things that we would like to talk about with preferences?
What's your favourite trope to podfic? Do you have one?
Funny.
Yeah.
That's not a trope.
No.
But that is definitely... If I think something is hilarious, I will podfic it.
Even if it's full of porn.
I mean, that's already been proven. Like, I thought the... So the things that I've podficed... one was by Tori Gates, and it was Gino at the Sochi Olympics being super arrogant because finally everybody else does not understand you, but they all understand me. And so that would be like, I found that super hilarious, so I perfect that and forgot the second half was porn. Just straight up. And then one by
Chibi RHM and
nope. Oh, well, that one too. Yeah. Shit.
You've done an awful lot of incidental porn in hockey
food. It's incidental porn because the situation is super hilarious because Sid was like, wait a second, I'm not your number one ever sex partner? Fuck this shit. Come fucking here. I want to fucking blow you until it's the best fucking blowjob you've ever had, right? So, like, I thought, and of course, he's just thinking that in his head, and Gino doesn't know that. He just thinks, oh, he's so into me, I'm getting so many blowjobs. Doesn't realize.
No fucking way.
Like, until, like, is that the best? Is that the best? I mean, he should have been clever about that and just always gone, like, oh, I'm sorry, Sid. I mean, you just can't compare to that one time where I had two girls in Amsterdam. It just... You know?
Oh, God.
But I thought, yeah. So the idea behind that was, one, hilarious, and the way that it was executed was so hilarious. And then the other one was about peanut butter.
Oh, yeah, the emissions-free.
Emissions-free, where Sid doesn't like jizz.
Yeah.
At all. And so Gino has to, and I love that one because it was, oh, okay, so that's the other thing that I really like is the problems after you've gotten together, like established relationship.
Maintaining an established relationship.
Yeah, so, so the buck does not stop with I love you.
Yes.
Like, when you're in an established relationship, funny shit happens. And so the admissions free was about, was because I found the idea of Gino having to accommodate for Sid's...
OCD?
For Sid's preferences, super hilarious because he would just come up to Sid and they would just restart the conversation. Like, so they'd be out the door or they'd be at the ice hockey rink or they'd be in the bus and they'd just be continuing that conversation willy-nilly to the horror of their teammates who were listening in. And as Gino says, like, it's not my fault. Should not eavesdrop. Look at life. Look at choices. So, yeah. So that, for me, the overriding humor. Factor is going to be, funniness.
The humor.
Yeah. If I find it funny, it's going to happen. Yeah. And because all I will remember is how much I laughed and forget about how much porn there was.
Yes.
What about you?
As evidenced. trying to think because, yeah, I'm much the same. It's not really tropes that draw me in. It's usually characterization is my drawing card. Usually characterization or language, one of the two.
Mm. So there aren't particular situations that you're like, you go for or?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, I'm sure there probably are.
Mm.
Just thinking back over what I've done in, just for example, in hockey.
Yeah.
A lot of it is get together, but then that is somewhat of a biased sample size because
that's true.
Most of the fic that's in hockey together. Is getting together. Yeah. There isn't much established relationship.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at something like a lot of the stuff I did in Remus and Sirius is dealing with that long, long, long relationship that they have that covers both the friendship and whatever else comes out of that.
Maybe you like exploring really long relationships. Maybe. Because, you know, in a way, like, Sid Gino is... They have a really long history.
It is true. I am drawn to characters with a long, torturous history together.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's your archetype.
Yeah, maybe that is.
People with long histories.
Oh, God, no.
But that would tragic. Cover Kena Taser as well, though.
Yeah. Hockey bros.
Ugh. Ah, and that is the deal breaker, right? Yeah.
Funny when it's done humorously. When it's done seriously, I gag. I'm like, just no, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. Like, I mean, that's nothing to do with anyone's...
Just personal preference.
Yeah, writing or whatever, that's just me.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, that aside, not important. Yeah, no, characterization is generally what gets me in. If it's exploring, I suppose, wants and needs, characters introspecting on what's made them, or events in their history that have made them what they are.
I mean, this is all, like, I mean, I should have seen this coming, obviously. but yeah, you do have a tendency to go towards fic that explores the internal world of the character.
Very much.
Rather than the external, like, plot points and stuff like that.
Yeah, I do, at least in shorter fic, yeah, I do tend to prefer things that are a bit more introspective rather than, you know, action every 5 seconds.
Yeah. And we spoke about this in one of our AMAs, but you don't like Omegaverse and you don't like those types of tropey things. Omegas, vampires,
Something
else. Animal transformation.
A lot of that has to do with less with the trope itself and more the fact that it's been done to death. That's for me, that's less the trope itself and more overexposure.
Oh, okay.
So, like...
So you're already predisposed to disliking it. You know, you don't even have to read the story. You're just going to be like, ugh.
It's, yeah, it's I look at it and go, oh, great, another Alpha Omega... thick.
You don't take comfort in it, and I think
there is, I mean, obviously it is a very interesting trope in and of itself, but just when every, you know, when
it doesn't grab you like the coffee
when 4 out of 5 fix are ABO, I'm just like, oh, for God's sake, get a new shtick.
Well, I mean, I have to say I kind of prefer it over like the somebody owns a like the coffee shop
AU. Oh, the coffee shop AUs, yeah.
I don't...
I like
the allure
them.
Of coffee shops is weird.
I like them for the nostalgia value, of to be honest. Shops? Well, not so much of coffee shops themselves, but of the trope. Because it was... I remember it being quite a big thing in, like, you know, things like Inception, and it kind of snowballed from there. I mean, I know it's become a bit passé now, but... I still look back on them with a fair bit of affection.
Yeah, I would read those and I would still think, like, ugh, I just find this so highly unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. Of course it's unrealistic. That's why it's nice.
not in that, like, in a sense where I'm like, I can't really suspend my disbelief because I just don't really... I mean, I think it's just really forced. That is the thing that I kind of get out of it, is, like, there's, like, this forced interaction where they... kind of are aware of it, like, are made aware of each other's
attraction or made aware of each other's existence, and then they bond over, and then it's like, you know, they get coffee and
but how is
this
that?
Also comes from the fact that I don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
So,
but at the same time, how is that any different from ABO?
Because ABO explores themes that I'm interested in.
that's where it differs.
Yeah, and coffee shop AUs don't explore themes that I'm... Because, like, the
what
main thing about...
What if it was an ABO coffee shop AU?
That's been done. I did that.
Yeah.
It was in the...
iBear.
Yeah, it was in the Tumblr Trope Bombs, and it was amazing. Like, but it also didn't have to do with coffee. It was a cafe where they...
It was tea.
Yeah, well, because Russia. But, yeah, no, the coffee shop AU for me kind of starts in a... it's kind of like shoujo manga that's based in high school. It's like, oh, I'm over this. Like,
God, yeah, the high school AU.
Like, I can kind of see where it's going from a mile away. Whereas in the Alpha Omega universe, there is, like, either one of them could be Alpha Omega, and this could mean different things depending on whatever, and it makes a significant impact on their life.
Yeah.
Whereas a coffee shop AU, one of them's a barista. And it's always going to be one of them is a barista.
Not necessarily.
Like, one of them makes coffee. Not, like, one of them makes coffee. It could be that they just work there, or it could be that they are the owner there, and then something will happen. Like, they will, like, you know, Starbucks cup says, like, I think you're hot. Whatever. Caution, you are hot. Something like that. Or, like, a dispute happens, and the love interest, like, jumps in and saves the barista or something like that, and then they just see each other in a new light. Or, like, they just, they have they have nosy co-workers or nosy friends who come in with it. It's like, oh, that's the barista that you like. Or the barista will be like, oh, that's the customer that you like. Within earshot of each other, yeah, I can pick this shit. And then because you can kind of see those kinds of things coming, I don't find them to be particularly, like, I don't like how it starts. If I don't like how it starts, I don't care about where it goes. So, yeah, that's my thing with coffee. Like, I will read them, but I will read them with a sense of, like, this is not going to happen. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's a thing to, it's just, for me, it's a thing to read.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd ever podfic it if all of their meet, like, if all the scenes were, like, inside a coffee shop. Was that more detail than you needed?
Well, that particular rant went on for a bit. Yeah, no, I do get where you're coming from. I mean, they're obviously not for everyone, and they have become a bit of a joke, I think, over the last couple of years with so many people doing them. And
yeah, if you're doing
they
it
just
earnestly,
always tend to, as you say, they're always involve the same things.
They always
But when you find one that is either done particularly well or does break the mold a little bit, I find those ones particularly satisfying. I mean, I did one.
It has to break the mold. Yeah, that's the caveat. It has to break the mold. But then
I podficked one, I think, in Rima Sirius. It was called Latte Art. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Because it was inverting the standard characterization of Sirius as an extrovert maniac.
Right.
So you had that going on, and then he was the barista, which was a little bit unusual. It's usually Remus seen as the slightly more quote-unquote passive one. And yeah, it didn't, there actually wasn't all that many scenes in the coffee shop, actually, and it wasn't so much about the relationship per se as it was about Sirius developing through it. So it was, the focus was more on the character than the relationship.
Can that be called a coffee shop AU, though?
Yes.
If quite it doesn't easily take place in a coffee shop.
Well, there were scenes. Like, there were scenes in the coffee shop. It just wasn't the only place that things happened in.
That's good.
Yeah. No, that was a really, really good one. And yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, shot myself in the foot perhaps with podficking it, in that every coffee shop AU I read now is in, you know, read in comparison to that and coming up short. But
pretty much, right? Yeah. The first coffee shop AU I ever read probably was the best thing that I ever read, right? But then it always is. It's like the first thing that, like, the first movie that you see, or the first, like, sci-fi book that you read or the first Doctor that you watch on Doctor Who is always going to be the best one. Yeah. And then everything is compared to how you feel about that one. But just with the saturation point, like you were talking about with Alpha Omega, the saturation point of coffee shop AUs just reached its zenith for me. So I don't particularly enjoy it. If I can pick it, like, I'm just like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? It's not the fault of the writer. It's just that I've read too many things. So, and this is why, you know, if you hit fandoms that are kind of in their infancy, they tend to not evolve those tropes. And you have to wait, like, a few generations before things start to subvert and stuff, like you were saying about the Remus Sirius stuff. So there has to be some more of that. But if it's the first, like, you know, there's always like, this is the hooker fic, this is the bakery fic, and the reason that it is because it was the first in that fandom, you know, of considerable length or of whatever. And you know, so you go into that and then everything is a comparison point against that one. So unless you can subvert or make it or kind of make it better, then it's unfortunately it is easy to kind of, because those they're tropes for a reason. It's because they're easy
things easy to get picks.
Involved with.
Yeah.
And things that people find comforting and people want to read about.
Yeah.
In different iterations.
Mm.
But the trap of it is that if you don't add something extra in there, your own individuality, it can be swallowed up. That was a strange tangent that we went on.
Well, it's preferences for tropes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think the coffee shop, my fondness for the coffee shop, regardless of how tired it's become, is probably linked in more with just my general fondness for all things ordinary people AU. So, yeah, I'm not really much of a one for high fantasy, to be honest. So, which may be part of what I have against ABO. I'm just like,
bit too far for you. You know what? Like, as soon as you said, like, normal people, I was like, oh, that's one of my things. Is like, I love the Notting Hill AU. Like, not the Notting Hill AU itself per se. Like, yeah. I hate when people are like, it's a Notting Hill AU, and I go in and it's the Notting Hill script with
names changed. Ugh.
Yeah.
That's not fake. That's just copy-paste.
Not good, guys. That's the same thing as, like, if you go in and tell me that it's a movie AU, but it's just the movie with the script, with the names changed. That's not cool.
That's called plagiarism.
That's not cool, guys. One of my favorites, like, that I will always go in and check out, no matter what, is if one person is famous and the other person is normal. Is non-famous, sorry. Not normal. Like, one person is famous and one person is not famous. Like, DRP, Drastic Redefining Protocol.
Yeah.
So, like, fame, it doesn't have to be, like, actor or whatever. It just needs to have, like, a level of fame that is attached to them and the other person thinks that they cannot.
Yeah.
That there's, like, because there's an inadequacy there or a...
It's an interesting power dynamic.
Yeah, the power dynamic. Or, yeah, or how one would actually be able to date somebody who's in the spotlight, or vice versa. How does that person in the spotlight convince somebody not in the spotlight to date them?
Yeah.
I enjoy that exploration of that a lot. It doesn't really matter how many times I go and I see, like, people have done that. Mm. I always love to, like, go in and at least have a look at what that story is like. And I always cross my fingers for the one that kind of is, like, you know, Drastically Redefining Protocol is the one that is, like, so outstanding because they've fleshed out both characters so well and both people's place in society and how they want to overcome the obstacle of fame and notoriety and, like, that all kind that, of thing. Give the give and take and that kind of thing. Because, like, yeah, I really like that is one, that is a trope for me. Like, I don't think I've podficked too many of those, but it's definitely a thing that I will consider. Yeah.
Interesting.
Sorry, so you talked about that and I was like, yeah, I really like that one. that is one that I love, but yeah.
The royalty AUs in general, when they're done well, can be quite interesting.
Ah, so you're a lover of the royalty, are you?
I wouldn't say lover. I would say interested. Because if it's...
You'd at least go in and check out.
Yeah, it's... There are certain things that have to be handled delicately.
For you? Such as?
So, I mean, we were talking about the power balance. Yeah, if you're going in there on a somewhat equal footing and people are going into those sorts of things with their eyes open, that's where I find a lot of really interesting tensions can be explored. So, yeah, there's a lot of really interesting stuff in there. And I just... The fairy tale royalty tropes get in the way.
What do you mean by fairy tale?
Well, you know, just that...
I come from on high to pluck you out of poverty and you can become my spouse?
Something like that. Yeah, like the, you know, the prince coming in to save the day, those sort of Grimm's fairy tale narratives, they just... I'm not interested in fairy tales. I'm interested in the nitty-gritty of what it is actually like to live your entire life in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Where somebody notices the scuff on your shoes and says, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, your whole family is falling apart. Like, to be under that kind of intense scrutiny and somebody actually willingly going into that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I think I've said this to you before, but there's a really good exploration of that in an X-Men fic.
Yeah, you have. You have said. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so that's where I'm interested in with the royalty AUs. Not the fairy tales, but the actual dirt and grit and, you know, blinding camera flashes of what a real royal family like is like to live in today.
Yeah. Like, I'm marrying you for the money. I'm sleeping with the poor boy.
Dearie me.
So gross.
Yeah,
so gross.
The marriages of convenience royalty take never held any interest for me either. Like, those ones where, you know, so-and-so
is forced
to marry so-and-so for parental property reasons. And whilst that is indeed historically accurate, it's... I don't often like the way it's played out.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how, like, what's a marriage of convenience in modern day terms? How is that going to go? Is that just kind of like...
That'd be your trophy spouse. The Harlequin thing? People getting together just to have kids or getting visas.
Ah, that is a definitely convenient marriage.
Well, I mean, that's the number one marriage trope in, at least in Sid Gino.
Yeah.
Gino needs a visa. Yeah. Somehow gay marriage is okay.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, of course it's okay, but, you know, politically there isn't any kind of red tape to jump through in any of these fics, which I feel like that would be a thing.
You know what?
That would be a rather significant thing.
As soon as you, like, for some reason when I think marriage of convenience, I never think, like, the fluffy shit, like, the stuff that is, like, you guys have been friends for ages, oh no, he's about to be deported, let's get married, so that he's not deported. I immediately think, like, marriage of convenience, fuck, I have to, like, find somebody to marry me, let's get any poor sod, he will do, and then the person not knowing that it is going to be like that, and you know, because I'm evil. Because I would like to see that, like, I would like to see that in writing.
Okay.
Yeah. If we're talking real talk in current times, that would be exactly how it goes. If that marriage of convenience is like, I really want to stay here and I don't want to go back to wherever it is that is, like, war-torn, or let's go down and just con somebody into marrying me, like, in a week.
No, thank you.
And then, you know, seeing if, like, they develop, like, if there's actual feelings developing and stuff like that, and they're coming to, and the other person coming to a realization, like, you lied about everything, and I can't trust you anymore, and I want a divorce. Or maybe not divorcing, because the other person feels like, I hate you, but I still really love you, so I don't want you to go back to whatever, but I just know, it's not going to be the same.
You are so evil.
I like those kinds of stories. I would like to know if there is a redemption possible, or if it's like this tragic kind of thing where it,
wow,
like, oh, I fucked up. Like, coming to this realization too late. I really love that trope. It's not a trope, but you know,
Yeah.
But the story obviously does not get written because...
It's depressing as fuck.
Well, because fandom doesn't enjoy unhappiness.
I wouldn't say that.
For me, I don't mind whether or not it's a happy ending. But if it's always going to be a happy ending, which is the tendency of fandom to do.
Not necessarily. There are certain pockets that deal with some pretty heavy angst.
Yeah. I would say that the majority of it is...
A majority maybe, but certainly not all.
Yeah. There is one, I think I've probably discussed this with you before, but there is a... The original Hockey Happy F thing, there is one story where a guy, they were in juniors together, and the guy was basically thought that they were in a relationship, like a for real relationship, but the other guy was like, this is just the thing that we're doing in juniors, dude, that because we're here. And
is that that imaging?
Yes,
yeah.
Disease. And at the end of it, the other, like, the guy still loves him, but... but he's a dick. He's a super asshole.
Yeah, you've told me about this.
And people were saying like, oh, but I really wanted them to end up together. I wanted him to be happy. I'm like, there is no happiness here. Like, this is a super good story where he's actually making the healthy decision to like not be involved in this anymore. Despite him loving him, like, love does not mean that you should be putting up with that shit. Yeah. So, that is, yes. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I can, like, obviously those meaty themes are what appeals to you. I can also just see the other side of the coin is that people come to fandom to get away from that sort of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. I can see it from both sides.
Yeah. But as you know, probably by now, I like stories. As you know by now from my coffee shop AU rant, I don't like it when they're all the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
So once you've read like 17 million words of fluffy fic, sometimes you need to go look at some other stuff. For me,
yeah.
After I read 17 million fluffy fics, which I adore and I love, I need a palate cleanser. And then I can go back to the fluffy fics.
For all that I say, I love Ordinary People AU, and I do, I can't stand curtain fic.
So, them choosing curtains together, right?
Yeah, or just the minutiae of domestic bliss, usually, but we'll say domestic life, wherein nothing happens. Usually for about 50 to 100,000 words. I want to burn things about halfway through those. It's like, life... is not this boring.
Yeah.
God's sake. Something interesting must surely happen. Can they at least have some sort of fight, please? That is what happens in real life. People do not get along perfectly.
Brutus Empire, right?
And that is why Ordinary People I use are interesting, because, you know, there is no polish and shine to these things. Yep.
That is relatable. There is things, yeah. You go off at people. You go off at the people that you're closest to.
Yeah. The things that were cute at the beginning after 2 or 3 months become the things that irritate you the most.
Oh, shit, I gotta actually live with that.
Yeah. Fuck. You know, it's like, that's why most of the time, like, excessively long curtain fics do not work for me, because I'm just like, nah, this is boring, this is not going anywhere, it's not true to life.
Yeah, like, where is your complete blowout fight that happens because somebody doesn't do the dishes?
Yeah, like, that's where it gets interesting.
Like, when somebody leaves a towel on the floor and then you guys start to dig into each other's deepest, like, insecurities, because you know them. And you're not afraid to use them because you really fucking hate that they put the towels on the floor.
Yeah.
This is why your mother doesn't love you! Like, I mean, if you can make that interesting, bravo, I would read that, but if...
Can they have a, like, massive blowout fights about choosing Tupperware that, you know, actually open up new spaces in their relationship and cause them to grow as people?
Can their fight be about the fact that they're always buying Tupperware and they don't have any more spaces? Like, what are you buying all this Tupperware for?
What is behind this compulsive buying of Tupperware? What does that actually mean? you know,
make why are you sectioning things off? Why are you
interesting?
Are you saving some fucking fights for later? Is this what you're doing? Do you just like to portion shit out? Are you gonna just lose shit? Is this why? Have you fucking lost something? Oh man. Like I said, though, we're fandom oldies. We've been around the block.
We've been here. We've seen it. We've got the t-shirts.
Yeah. We've seen the evolution. We've also seen the stagnation. So, yeah, in that sense, we're quite hard to please as podpickers, to be honest.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Like, you can talk about personal preferences all you want, but, like, there are just things. There are things that make me react like towels on the floor. for me, it's not towels on the floor, but, you know, it'll be food in the fridge that hasn't been used by its use-by date. That is my ultimate, like, domestic fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fuck? What the fuck were you going to use this for? How come you haven't fucking eaten this yet? It went off a month ago! That is my struggle. Yeah. I mean, this is nice. If we're talking about personal preferences...
Tropes that drive us crazy.
There are tropes that drive you crazy. There are tropes, like, and obviously there's heaps of ones where we're like, it's fine. We love it. Everything is fantastic and flowers are blooming out of birds' asses. That's what's happening. But it's not always like that.
No.
Yeah. All right. I think
there's probably more than enough on personal preferences.